Okay, I've got 10:38, and we'll reconvene in open session. Still picking up with item number 18, considering responses to RFQ for the courthouse master plan. Is there any action that the court wishes to take?
I think we need to pick the top two or three and set up interviews. And if the historical folks want to participate, get them in there.
I'd like to hear how the scoring was.
I do. No. No, sir.
Is you tallied everybody's scores and then you have a ranking, is that correct?
Yes.
That's what I would love to hear.
One was Architects.
Architects, number one. Who?
Kamatsu. Arnold, three. Teams. Over. That's Gallagher and MAS.
And I don't imagine there was a huge dispersion there.
Top was 365.
So I want to bring two back or three back. Bring three back.
Three.
Pretty close. Mr. Bell, when did you say the interviews were supposed to be?
June 5th and 6th, I believe, were the 2 days that we had put in the RFP. Interviews would be held, just to kind of give them an idea. I would think that what I had sent out to them, some of them in the next spoke, asked a question about. I don't well, I'll tell you what, one of them, anyway, told them that the court made their selection of the ones that would be interviewed, that someone would be reaching out to them to schedule those interviews for time to speak. I don't like to hear I'll go out to them and I'll say here's the dates and times for considering setting up interviews. It's gonna be on 5th and 6th because that's when I told them to set aside. But if there's other dates and times y'all want to allow and consider, I would look into that. It's just it'd be best if it was before that following week because I think that. But it's not necessary. It's proposed that the court make a decision on June 9th, I believe, but only the court makes a decision on June 9th, June 23rd, if it's taking place. Some of them were busy or y'all are busy, and they didn't do interviews that week of 9th. I was just letting them know. I reach out to them to schedule my professional outfits. It's going to be a problem.
I've never been a part of anything where we've actually done the interview.
Exactly.
Are you beholden to the open meetings act on that? In other words, only two people from the court can be in the interview process?
They've always been good in the past about interview.
Oh, okay. I see what you mean. Gotcha. Okay, I like that. Okay.
I make a motion to bring back the top three for the RFQ for the Courthouse Master Plan, Architects, Photos, and O'Connor's Architects.
Commissioner, would you mind adding to that on June 6th?
On June 6th.
I think if we give them notice June 5th and 6th. I've got a little bit more of a scheduling conflict on the 5th, June 6th. I think we can, I mean, is that?
Y'all up there?
Yeah. 6th.
Let me know. Got that, Ms. Newton?
I will second that motion.
Got a motion from Commissioner Basham, a second from Commissioner Weddle. Any further discussion on item number 18? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Mr. Bell.
We start our regular time.
Yeah, we have a construction meeting on that day at 9. So, but knowing that we can stagger those, yeah, that's fine. Like, we can work around.
On Thursday? I thought y'all's meeting was on Wednesday.
Thursday. Well, yes, when we were doing the jail, but we had to move them to Thursday.
So,
Would y'all be amenable to this? Let's schedule one for 11 o'clock on Thursday morning. That'd be the first one. And then schedule two for the afternoon, a 1 o'clock and a 2:15. We'll give them an hour. So that, you know, they've got travel time, so y'all can take care of the meeting on Thursday.
10 o'clock start time would be fine. We can push to get it done. They usually only last 45 minutes at the most. But we can push them early. I suspect, I'm digging through some of these. This is, not going to be one of those cheap decisions. So I don't want to shortchange us, and I don't want to shortchange the participants. So, yeah, I think at least 2 solid hours per group, because we're going to have to tag team, and technically there's 5 of us, so that would mean 3 different interview sessions, correct?
They're going to come, the architecture firm is going to come here for the entire commission report, give their spiel, open themselves up to questions from the board, and help them decide how the questions.
Okay.
I'll probably think about that and make sure we know what our plan is. We did the same here for everyone else, and just give me some idea about time. It doesn't matter to me whether you give an hour or 2 hours. I don't care. They're going to take 15 minutes or so just to introduce themselves and give a little background, and then 45 minutes sounds like a long time. If you think about 5 people asking one question, when you ask a question, you get an answer. But it's asking questions.
Mm-hmm. So,
but again, it's something that's really not quite a bunch of questions. But the answer to be about response to the questions. Oh.
In 1 and 3.
Yeah.
All right, so are they limited to, because we need to let them know, especially the 1 and 3, that they are limited to 1.5 hours, 1 hour's 45 minutes? Because it needs to be consistent across
right,
the board,
right.
But there's two that are going to be back to back. So you're then assuming that the 3 o'clock finishes up at 4:30, 4:45.
Yeah, I think 1 hour and 45 minutes.
I think that's a long, it's a long time.
I think I'll have 45 minutes. We should have a feel for what we want to do. So that's my personal opinion. I think I have 45 minutes. Or do you think I need more time than that?
No. I think you need less.
Think an hour?
Yeah.
But
with that being said, if it wraps up in an hour, you know, let me get up, spread out, use your bathroom.
If they come with audio visual, take them a little time to get that set up. I'm even okay with an hour and a half, you know, time limit.
Well, whatever it is, and I, it's irrelevant to me. Other than
an hour and a half, it's about the middle of everybody's opinion. Hour and a half. Kyle thinks an hour, Bastion's hour and 45, so stick with an hour and a half and be done with it.
Mr. Bell, if you'll let them know.
1 hour and a half time, 1 hour and a half for the interviews, 10:01 to 3 on June 6th.
Yes, sir.
I'll get them signed up. I'll send something out to that. It's working. Find y'all who's coming when, and everybody else even firm on the
very good.
Awesome. Thank you.
Item number 19, considering a local cooperation agreement between counties and cities associated with Operation Lone Star for law enforcement services. Sheriff.
Just to be put on the agenda, we met here about a week, 10 days ago with McLennan County, and both the sheriff and the state have been following this pretty closely. They already have one of these chapters set up in South Texas, one in Houston, one in West Texas, and we're in the process of trying to stand one up here in Central Texas. And as soon as Central Texas gets stood up, North Texas will be stood up. What this is for, without naming any specific targets, is to interfere and interdict in criminal activity, such as, you know, human smuggling, human trafficking, it comes to people enslaved labor, forced prostitution, smuggling of narcotics. What we're setting this up for is, you know, those of us that are further north, when they get to track someone from the south, we can intercept here or come together as a collaborative work operation, put the town together, try to curb some of this criminal activity. But it's been very successful in South Texas and very successful in Houston, West Texas. We're just trying to move on through the state. Eventually, it'll probably come with some money from the governor's office. Helps any external call. Right now, all it is just several parents coming together to fight for the operation. there's no dedicated personnel to it. No cost to the county, I mean, other than, you know, if I have a deputy scheduled, there would be work for that. But there's no dedicated personnel, no dedicated equipment, no fee.
But how many counties this cover?
Right now, this one, the Central Texas is just McLennan County. Coryell, if we get involved, Hill County, Bosque County, and try to work on Vail and Lampasas County, Hamilton County. But Lampasas and Hamilton are under new sheriffs coming in January, so they're aware, and the incoming sheriff are pretty excited about the deal. Just wait until they take off.
About five, six counties?
As of right now, but we're going to try to grow a little more. Great thing would be is if from South Texas, from Zapata, if we could say everybody, you know, connected all the way to the panel, get that going from El Paso all the way to East Texas. That way we have partners that are ahead of the game. If we, if say our South Texas partners get into something where they're tracking a load of narcotics or smuggling bodies to come up here, we can intercept. Because we're in that collaborative together that way. Whatever jurisdiction it lands in, that jurisdiction is part of this agreement.
I don't have a problem participating in it. I actually did that, something very similar. As long as we don't get obligated that we got to send somebody to Duval or Zapata to go and work. You know, if we're in the neighboring counties and there's not a great deal of expense to the county, then I have no issue with it because it is. It's a task force, you know, but in other words, but I would hate that we had to say.
South Texas will take care of South Texas. Central takes care of Central. Houston takes care of Houston. So, but just having people in place to intercept if it gets out of their zone.
Yeah, every agreement has. I'll just be interested to see how this particular sentence works in this. Administration and supervision. The lead agency for each joint effort shall have the sole responsibility for the direction and supervision of the activities of law enforcement officers during the law enforcement operations. I guess my question is, who determines who the lead agency is?
In my area, say Coryell County, it would be me taking primary, and then it would be one of our partners in this central collaborative.
Even if Zapata called it out and said, hey, we're tracking these folks, you know, they're coming through your
when
area.
When he gets here, it becomes our
operation. Okay. All right. And that kind of, yeah, the disposition of forfeited assets on section number 9 was the other. Okay.
I think the thing to consider on this gentleman is that, you know, by me, by not being a member of this, if something comes through Coryell County and one of these other collaborators work this particular crime, whatever it may be, and we get involved in it, and let's say that they seize several millions of dollars, we have no claim in any of it, right? The other part of that is if this is a big operation, let's say somebody has set up in Coryell County, we have to work it with the limited manpower that we have. This particular collaborative gives us a force multiplier from other agencies that we can draw. They're going to come and help us, and vice versa. I think that's a big thing.
I don't know if I'm reading this right or not, and I would welcome, you know, a little bit of guidance. But some of the very first portion, this interlocal cooperation agreement is made, entered into, and executed by, and it lists number of counties there, bunch of counties. And then when we look into the, what are the therefores, paragraph 3 under personnel and equipment indicates to me that if any county that's up here in this top portion is requesting personnel or equipment from Coryell County, we would have to provide that. It says we shall assign law enforcement officers and shall provide all necessary vehicles and equipment. So in theory, if we approve this, San Patricio, Gonzales, Duval, Zapata, any of those counties, if they requested from Coryell County, we would have an obligation to send people and vehicles and equipment. Is that? I want to make sure. Okay, then maybe I'm just not reading it right, but that's, shalls stick out at me. So that's our kind of get out of jail free card. So yeah, I mean,
it reads the same as everyone has ever seen. Remember,
okay,
thing we've ever been involved in. It's a
okay.
Yes, and you need to be comfortable with it because number 12, county judge, mayor, or city administrator is authorized to act on behalf of his or her governing body under the agreement for the express purpose of adding or removing parties to the agreement in writing. You certainly have a.
No, I mean, I think it's a good thing. I just wanted to make sure that they weren't just, throwing out there and reeling us in, and we didn't have, any other questions the court has for the sheriff or any actions that the court wishes to take concerning item number 19?
What resolution number would we be on?
I just did phone a friend. I'll have it for you here in just a second.
All right.
I'm an idiot. Should be three.
Three.
Yeah,
we did
resolution. Oh, no, resolution. Yeah, resolution. So we just did 02, and I'm sitting there going, yes. So it's the next resolution number would be 2024-03.
All right. I make a motion to approve resolution 2024-03.
Second.
The interlocal agreement also needs to be included because there's two pieces there.
Yeah.
So is that motion to approve the interlocal cooperative agreement as well as resolution CC24-03?
Yes.
Motion from Commissioner Matthews and a second from Commissioner Taylor. Any further discussion, questions, comments, concerns? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Item number 20, discuss the year-to-date month ending April 30th, 2024 statement of expenses for the jail and sheriff's office.
Judge, I asked this to be put on there, and I apologize with the driving up this morning and realizing that the venue had changed. I've left a copy of a statement of expenses out in my vehicle, I hope. I didn't drop them somewhere here, but on or about May 7th, our auditor, Mr. Wood, sent us a statement of expenses and went through all of those. I sent the sheriff an email last week to kind of get him a heads up. This would be a topic. I mean, it's the elephant in the room. The jail right now, we should be sitting at about 58%. And their current expense to budget is at 71.9. Of course, the prisoner board. What? 40413. We budgeted $2,020,000, and we are currently at $2,052,000. So we're already with 4 months. June, July, August, and September. We still have 4 months. Left. So it's obvious we're going to far exceed the jail budget unless there's some miraculous findings that I'm not aware of. So I just wanted to, we got to talk about it. Where do we stand today? What can we do to mitigate further, I call it, damage to the budget? Obviously, somewhere down the road, a budget amendment is going to have to be made. Where is that money, going to come from? I know those are a lot of questions that I've got it pulled up on my screen here.
A lot of the spending trends, like on maintenance and stuff like that, are done. But a lot of that stuff is done. Matter of fact, the entire line item was beaten up by trying to get us back to the company.
Yeah, I know we had two big washing machines, I guess.
Yeah, washing machines, and then we had to bring in miracle method for the showers. We redid all the 18 showers, and they were the original showers that we had when they built the building in 1991. And general inspection said, they could slip and hurt themselves. So we had to go in there and redo all that. Plus, that was a $48,000 to have those showers redone. Like I said, both the washing machines had to be replaced.
We've already met with Mr. Bassett about overage in those areas and all the agreement that the only money we can spend is that of the budget. Not down by fix a facility and maintain compliance at section 4.
Yeah, I get the maintenance and repair. In fact, it's going to be a big, I would think that'll be a big topic as a county overall in the upcoming budget. But in the scheme of things, I mean, it's, you know, 10,000, it's like it's exceeding by 10,000 at 110% already for the year. And yes, I think a lot of the major maintenance has been done. You know, the two areas that I think we have the best control over that are, and I believe you've already kind of sought out maybe something on our, you know, food on the food for inmates, which we're at 66.7% year to date.
Right. So what we have to understand is when we open the new facility, we gained by 30%. So I think it's going to go up by 30%. That was not covered in numbers for an opening. We are currently in the discussion last week about a new vendor. We're going to start using two different vendors in order to find what the cheapest product is out there. So it's as cheap as possible. I think that after we looked at this, we're looking at saving $300 to $400 a week on purchases just to move on.
Yeah, I think there was a lot of, you know, obviously a lot of discussion about this at the, you know, budget time. And I think we missed as a court a few of those, the ancillary items. Like, yeah, we knew we were going to bring more, you know, inmates in, and it probably didn't offset. But of course, the biggest, you know, the biggest one. I mean, we're, no matter how you slice it up, we're going to run a pretty big deficit on prisoner board. I wish we called that prisoner boarding.
Yeah, and I will tell you, it's going to get even bigger. The current spending trends that we're out right now for the year, we just talked about this, we're looking at this is going to be probably $1.5 million over budget, just staying with the current trend that we're at. We're housing the maximum number that we can house and staying within compliance, and we're housing out the cheapest that we can. I mean, I have inmates in Bosque County and Ebraim County that charge a whole lot less than Johnson. Problem that you have with those two counties is if they're not compliant inmates, if they tell them, no, I'm not taking that aspirin, that they don't want to send them somewhere else. Right? So we bring them back and we try to manage that, which is a lot of movement for us. Currently, we were at 117 in our facility, and we're only housing out 95. That's a big difference from what it was 2 months ago.
Yeah, it is a good trend. I will definitely say, and that was part of what I was hoping to encourage today. I'm not a jail administrator, but my simple math, and you guys can correct me, we had a 92, you know, bed facility. We added 47, so 139 total beds. I believe the jail commission says 10%. So that would put us at 125 as our...
124, yes.
Okay. 124, 125. You know, me, it would help a lot. We can just get that 125, you know, on a pretty regular basis. I mean, we started out...
And we could do that if we could tell all the other agencies to stop arresting.
No, I got that. Well, that's why the 10% is there, because you're going to have some drunken disorderlies over the weekend, you know, to cover those. But again, I'm our magic number, and I'm a math guy. You know, basically, we could start moving inmates in on April 1st. And if we have 125 as our benchmark, we had 79 on that April 1st, which is a deficit of 46. Which is roughly for that week, which would be $32,200. For every person we don't have up to that 125, and I have and I am not trying to
point out, I'm not trying to do anything other than state one thing we have control over is the more inmates that we can put in there, the less we spend out of county. That's how this whole thing makes mathematical sense. So I'm running through this and I get that it takes a little while, you know, to ramp up, you know, to that 125. But as long and I have seen that you guys are making, you know, good progress. You know, it went from 79 to 83 to 82 to 109 to 110 to 98, and then it went to 117, you know, as of this morning. But our lost opportunity in my very basic economics class was if you just do the math, you know, we missed out on $154,000 in that eight-week period by not maximizing up to our 125. We have 49 days, if my notes are correct here, we have 4 months left in the budget, which is 17 weeks. If we continue on the same path as an average, then that would be $328,729, again, of lost opportunity. That's just plain averages. I don't have a crystal ball. I see you guys are, you know, ramping it up. So part of mine today was just, you know, encouraging that every week, you know, every inmate that we have in there is less that this guy has to cut. And at the end, if we had done the 154 and the 328, there would have been a delta or savings of 483,000. So you're talking about $1.5 million, you know, deficit. Well, then maybe we'd only be talking about $1 million. And it sounds horrible when we start talking about $1 million. But I get it. I'll be, you know, glad I didn't formalize this. I just kind of did my little handwritten, you know, spreadsheet. But I wanted to get my head around what the number is and then how we can maintenance, you know, food, and it's not going to, you know, put us over the top dramatically, but certainly anything that we can do to increase that, you know, to the maximum. Maybe look at the counties that charge us the most too, because I don't know if there's really a difference.
We're already looking at, like I said, the counties that charge the most. I mean, Johnson County has been a good partner because if we have an inmate that's just truly unruly, and they need to be gone from our facility, that they'll pay. The other counties are not so
accepted. Right.
So we have to be careful who we move where. Also, you got to consider that the inmates that we move from county to county typically are those who have already been sent to PDC or to some other agency, so that we don't have to continually bring people back and forth to court, or that we try to limit the amount of those trips that we're trying to make. And it's a shuffle game we play every morning, you know. The 125 number, yes, you are correct. That's 10% less than the state. If I get the 126, we're out of compliance.
Right.
And I've done everything in my power since I've been here to get this county back and to maintain that compliance, right? And unfortunately, to be in compliance, it costs money. Now, I get that there might be that open bed, but you also don't see daily that it may be that I get 13 arrests from Copper Stoke. The 13 Copper Stoke says, you got 13, come and get them. Well, at where we're at today, I'm out of compliance if that happens. Just by saving those few beds to make sure that we stay in compliance, right? So we have tried to stay ahead of that as well to mitigate some of those expenses. I'll be honest with you, I don't want the jail commission to appear with a microscope. I don't.
Your credentials precede you, so yes. Yeah. Again, you know, sometimes I just sit up here and just ask. And again, the trend is great. I wish we got there a little faster. You know, the 79, when I saw 79 and 83, you know, come through, that just hurt my feelings. But 117 this morning, I'm feeling much better.
And there were some things with that too that I guess I'll forget. You guys get a piece of paper from the jail commission that says you can house over here.
Right.
But that's not true. They're just telling you that the building is good for occupancy. Now that we've reached over 100 beds, you know we have to have a tuberculosis plan.
Yes.
It was not done. So therefore, I couldn't bring any inmates back until we at least got that sentence stay. We also did not prepare for food because we didn't know when we were going to have this magic inspection and whether it was going to be. So for that first 2 weeks, we didn't have food to feed those other 30 people. Right? So we had to ramp up a little here and a little there in order to get to the work.
As my wise dad said, what ifs, you know, will drive you crazy.
Sure.
You know, what if we had put that plan in place weeks ahead of time, knowing that we were going to get that approval? So again, unless there's, I mean, I'm done, you know, spurring this horse, but man, just, you know, if y'all can keep that number up, it'll mitigate on the backside. And then we've got to start, you know, talking as a court, you know, where are we going to be able to, you know, come up with those funds to cover that shortfall in that particular, you know, the jail fund.
I hate to kick a dead horse, but it may be time to start thinking about what more we can do. This trend isn't going to stop as far as what it costs for men. It just keeps going up, keeps going up. 5 years ago, if we had stayed on track, we would be paying one third. Got to figure out as a whole, when are we going to stop the bleed and put it on the 20-year clock?
I knew that conversation would come up. You and I both know that's not going to happen overnight, so we have what we have. Probably some misnomers out there. I mean, however you look at it, we virtually paid cash for that jail expansion. When I say cash, we had ARPA money that we funded over to that. So technically, there's really not a mortgage payment on that. Well, but what we're talking about is, you know, the expansion that we did, that, you know, we need to certainly send out to the public that, you know, it still financially makes, you know, good sense for us, as long as we just keep it as a high capacity that is allowed within the rules. And I think the jail commission does give you a little leeway over that 125 if you have a bad incident, as long as you're moving forward to get them out of there.
I could ask for variances.
Yeah, they don't hit you the day of, you know what I mean? So I think if we run scared, then, you know, we'll lose some opportunities at a pretty significant per inmate per day. And again, I understand there's costs associated with every inmate we add. There's jailer food, medical, and everything. That was it. I'm very concerned. And then we're going to have, you know, by the way, you know, Sheriff and LT, when you guys do your budget this year, we're going to have some real, the best data that we can, so that we can predict what next year is going to look like. So I know in my household, if I was looking at $1 million deficit, I'd be really scared. You could dumb that down. If I'm at a $10,000 deficit in my own household, you know, that would be devastating, you know, to me personally and financially. And, you know, so this coming next year, we're going to have to hit that mark a little bit better. And I, you know, we can all share a little bit, you know, and maybe like not snapping at our food, but I believe we looked at the prior year and we had a shortfall, you know, of food. So
food has hit us every year. There's no doubt.
Yeah.
We've redone contracts and this, that, and the other. Food has hit us every year. So it's something that needs to definitely be looked at. There's no doubt.
Well, and I can give an example that when I pulled the sample for this other company to evaluate their product versus the product that we're getting. That particular bill for that week was at roughly $4,400. And I think the same company this last week was at $6,200. Just in a month and a half time, that's how much our fuel was going up. So,
and it's always good to have two vendors, and you can make them compete.
Exactly.
Because they will. But yeah, the food service side is always I agree with the bed thing. I understand the bed thing too. But as many beds as we can fill locally, that's all he's talking about. Because it is going to eat us up. But I understand that. The way the numbers up too, there is an issue there.
Yeah, I tried to do some historical data, and actually Dusty he keeps great data. But starting April 1st, we've gone from 205 total, 212, 206. This is weekly, 213, 211, 209, 97 last week. So, as far as I know, those are pretty historically high numbers. Of those that are in the jail, I kind of looked back and they used to run in the 175. So certainly our overall numbers. And I think some of us have had conversations with the judicial side of it. And how can we, there's a lot of working pieces, right? At pretrial, you got the judicial side, the law enforcement side, that it's this juggling act that I absolutely appreciate. But if we don't talk about it, and that was the only reason I really put it on this thing, was to talk about it, then we're just ignoring a problem. And I don't
And also I think there's inner workings within a jail that a lot of normal people don't understand. I'll give you a very good example with our facility. We brought back a lot of females, right? Housing two cells off of their cells, which we're required to do, clean the jail up, got all these pain problems. But I can house 24 females. So, however, to be in compliance, I can only house minimum and maximums together, and I can only house, minimum and mediums,
right?
And mediums and maximums together. So they have to be separate. So I've got one tank for this, one tank for that. Now, what if somebody arrests a female, I got to have a place to put them. So I've got to leave a bed open in each one. And it's the same thing with the men. So there's a lot of juggling parts that go with just an overall number versus staying in place.
I think Jack Nicholson put it best, right? You need me on that wall. You want me on that wall. And you're right. we don't know all the dirty, ugly, nasty, all the wrangling and stuff. Again, if you just hear my plea today, and you came in, right at the time of a transition, a perfect storm. Mm-hmm. So I do appreciate the trend. That was great news this morning. We're only 8 shy of that, 125 max.
I think the best that I could tell the court would be this. That is that gentlemen entrust me to run the facility. Sheriff entrusts me to run the facility. I'm going to do that using the minimal amount of money as possible.
Perfect.
And have maximum outcome to be a good steward with the county. That's the best that I can do.
Okay. All right.
How is TDC now coming and getting our inmates? How good is TDC now coming to getting our inmates after the 10 minutes? How long does it take?
Well,
get me on the phone, Bob.
So that's
all right. I thought there was a deal now when they don't come get them that we can charge money.
There is a new house. There was a house bill, I guess.
So let me tell you how that's working.
if you don't mind, we're starting to digress a little bit.
I'm curious how many days will it hold them after that?
Well, the house bill says 45. Mm-hmm. However, TDC is saying we don't have it.
And I hear you, Judge.
I mean,
I don't know what your opinion is. $1 million is a big issue.
No,
if we stayed here till midnight, if we could solve problems today, then we would.
Mm-hmm.
But so please, I've got you call me anytime and we can discuss what the future budget, you know, because that's the one we got to work on now. I'm a big proponent. I've been arguing that we need to have quarterly budget reviews, which we haven't done, and it drives me crazy. I do that in my personal life, done it all in my business life, and we don't do it here. This is a budget review for me for this one section, and you guys are getting picked on. Okay, Judge, I'm off my soapbox.
So where do we make these budget amendments from to make up for that shortfall?
I think that'll be a, I mean,
for this year's budget.
Yeah. I think that's going to have to be an agenda item next. Yeah. Next commissioner's court, we got to start looking at where we have the money.
Okay, anything else to discuss under item number 20? All right, hearing none, we'll move on to item number 21, consider dates for budget workshops.
Well, I asked for that to be put on there. I think the court has said that they're interested in starting this early. I don't know if you got a calendar, but I did visit with the DA and the tax office, and they're ready on the 11th if anybody's available. I did send out a calendar, just kind of left it blank because they do have busy schedules. And if somebody's available to talk about your budget, I think we can either do it as a court or two members can go visit with them, as long as we get the ball rolling, because we don't want to fall into, in my opinion, this that we have, you know, $1.5 million short, $6,000 short, or whatever it is. I don't know what y'all's schedule is on the 11th, but in the afternoon, but the DA and the tax office is ready to go.
You are saying June 11th, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. We should have court that day, but I mean, in the afternoon, they said they're ready. And there's others that said that they're working on them. It's just, I mean, Mr. Latham ought to be done with his by now, but he hasn't been doing nothing.
I started my
business. It's going to look a lot like prison bullets.
Yeah, I know. I'm messing with him. He's been out there and steady at it.
Judge, do you have any, I mean, I believe it was last court, you said you'd have a budget calendar out by Friday.
Yes.
And it was pointed out to me that, like a good police officer, you don't ask the proper question, which Friday? So that Friday, you know, I do think we need a budget workshop where we just talk about what our, you know, based upon your proposal, what our goals and aspirations are for this year's budget. You know, even almost prior to before we talk to any of the individuals.
Oh, he's got
you. Got you, Kyle. I didn't leave you out. Okay, what I handed to you after talking with Mr. Wood and kind of what we were envisioning was realistic, achievable, and gives us some time to work between some things, because one of the I think he and I both agree, I won't put words in his mouth, but one of the things we got into last year was a cycle of having a workshop that went later in the day and then another workshop the following day, and not having the time to get updates and things put into into the budget, the adjustments. So, in fact, what he and I or I'll say I'm proposing, is kind of the timeline, is that all the budget requests would be due on June 14th. And start compiling those inputs. He's already started working on some of the salary inputs based off of adjustments that we made last year, this fiscal year, which a lot of that stuff should just carry forward. And then he and I will sit down with the department heads and elected officials on the 20th and 21st just to make sure we've got a good understanding of what those budget requests are. Not committing to anything, take away from anything. So then our meeting on the 25th becomes a review of all those budget requests by the Commissioner's Court so that everyone is tracked along with the same information as we develop this. And gives you a little bit of time to maybe seek out and, you know, talk to any of the departments individually. Okay. Then proposing on the afternoon of July 10th, and the afternoon of July 11th and the morning of June 12th, elected officials, department heads would sign up for time slots, come and present to the Commissioner's Court anything that they may wish to present is part of the just open discussions. With the intent, compiling that, things that we can agree on at that point, the target of July 19th, of having a rough draft budget. Get that pushed out to you so that on July 22nd, have a budget workshop devoted to specifically addressing that rough draft budget and any of the glaring things that, you know, we can agree to disagree on or agree to agree on, either way. The 23rd is a regular commissioner's court, but not budget related. And again, it's to allow some time for anything that we discuss or cover on the 22nd to be able to come back and then take another look at that on the 24th. The 25th, certified tax rolls are due. Again, we'll have a budget workshop on the 26th, which we're all, and we will also set the elected official salaries at that. At that meeting. On the 30th, budget workshop, if needed, if there's, you know, things that are, you know, we just haven't really agreed on in principle, we'll come back. But also on the 30th, notice of elected official salaries will go out to all of our elected officials. And on the 31st being the day to file the proposed budget. I have yet to get with Mr. Carruthers, so I've got to make sure that those dates where we propose tax rates, you know, notices in the paper, those will still be filled in here as well as in August, those actions taken, but would anticipate that no later than the second meeting in August, which I believe is going to be the 27th, we would adopt a budget for FY 2025. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Very good. Good schedule. I like it.
I'll play Mr. Wood.
Yeah.
That's all I had. there anything that the court wishes to discuss or actually to consider under item number 21? Hearing none, Ms. Newton, if you would just note for item number 21, discussion only. Item number 22 on the agenda is pay bills. We've had bills presented in the amount of $251,962.79. We not pay this one the next one?
I would rather not, sure.
Okay. So what was, how much was that? Let's put it on
$24,900. $276,862.
$24,900
even? Yes, sir.
And I believe that's a paving wall, Road and Bridge addition. Okay, so I would retract that. We did have one additional bill to be submitted in the amount of $24,900. So pay bills presented today are $276,862.79.
Pay bills.
Second.
Got a motion to pay bills from Commissioner Matthews, second from Commissioner Taylor. Any further discussion on item number 22? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Before we go too far, Mr. Bell, did you have anything that we need to consider under item number 25 and or 26 to be considered today?
No.
Okay. Noting that there is nothing for closed meeting executive session, we will not, there's no need to have items number 25 and 26. We'll go to reports. Commissioner Matthews.
I have nothing.
Okay. Very good. Thank you, sir. Commissioner Whittle.
Matthew's already kind of covered it at Chivalry this weekend and haven't confirmed a booth, but MRB will be there. They've already requested a booth, and so hopefully that'll get the engagement here locally that we've missed a couple of others.
Very good.
I have nothing
to do. Oh, Commissioner Basham. Commissioner Basham. Mr. Taylor.
No. I'm watching. I'm actually, the Jonesburg softball team is in the semifinal of the state game right now. At the end of the fifth inning is 9-0 us. So if they win today, they'll play at 4 tomorrow for the state championship. Third year program, so that's a pretty big step. Mm-hmm. So 3 years and you're in the state game. When we get to rain, everybody just watch the high water.
Yeah.
Rather stay at home and listen to it rain than be out there watching people drive off in it.
Mm-hmm.
I know the Phil just could not have his car drove off in the street.
That's it. Okay, I had listed two items from our report. I didn't know exactly what all we were going to cover previously on the flood event, but I think we've covered all the key points that I was going to address as far as the meetings, getting meetings set up with Tatum on the recovery side of things, as well as getting answers to what does our footprint need to look like for supporting any FEMA operations. Hill Country Transit District restructuring update. If you recall, a couple months ago, I told you that Bell County had requested some information from Hill Country to explore the possibility of separating from the Hill Country Transit District. They, in fact, have gotten two models back from TxDOT as to what in the state, as to what that might look like. We have a Hill Country Transit meeting district, Hill Country Transit District meeting coming up in the next week or two. So I've got copies of that, but before I disseminate those out, I want to, doesn't give a lot of fine details as to what that may look like. What I can tell you is for budgeting purposes this year, the same model, same amount of money contribution is what they're requesting, because none of this would take place, any major changes for FY25. Commissioner Taylor beat me to it. Congratulations to Jonesboro. They've been one win away, and I hope I just didn't jinx them. Also, I'd like to congratulate the Oglesby Tigers. They won the Gordon Wood Award for sportsmanship this year. You know, tremendous effort on their part going to the state championship. Just phenomenal. And congratulations to all of our high school graduates. Adulting just started as of last Friday or Saturday for most of them. But no, lots of good ceremonies out there. So congratulations to them. And the last thing is, before y'all depart, if you'd stop by and so I can get signatures on a couple documents. Is it?
I just need to know, because I'm new to the area, at what point would you make a decision on my request? How do I find out what I remember forward?
I think I can address that one. In the public forum, because your item was not on the agenda, in the public forum, we are able to respond one of three ways. One, we can take an action to put it on a future agenda, but we cannot take action on that, you know, at that point in time. Two, we can recite a policy or procedure that's already in place. Or three, we can make a statement of fact. So what we did is we received the information you have. There was not a commitment to put it on a future agenda because I believe that there's going to have to be some discussions on what our policies and procedures are before we could address it publicly. So with that, other than your signature, that concludes the business of the court today.
Ladies won. They're going to the state.
Congratulations, Jonesboro Eagles. We stand adjourned. Thank you.